Mrs. Fraser, Mr. Alvarado. May it please the court, Rob Alvarado with the Federal Defender's Office in Peoria on behalf of Mr. Fraser. Your Honor, first of all, I'd like to commend Mr. Sanchez, who wrote the government's brief. He presented the only authority interpreting the particular guideline we're talking about, and it happens to be completely contrary to his position. That's United States versus Stokes from the Fourth Circuit. I wish we had found this at the trial level and even in our opening brief, but we didn't. In that case, the court interpreted the very phrase that we're talking about. What does more than two threats mean? Stokes' decision indicated that more than two threats refers to the number of communications, not the number of victims. In this instance, and in that case, they discussed the fact that Application Note 3 would be meaningless if you interpreted it any other way. Because in that application note, it allows upward departures based on multiple victims, which is precisely what Judge Scott was trying to do when she talked about her interpretation of this guideline. So then we come back to how many communications were actually made. As we know, there were three phone calls that were made to the Pena schools that day. The first call to the Office of the Superintendent of Schools, and then the next two calls came on top of each other. There was one call that was
interrupted. Well, the government distinguishes Stokes. It says that's the case where you have one mailing with multiple victims, not multiple separate threats.
Right, and that's why I'm discussing the fact that the second two phone calls were essentially part of the same instance, the same episode of conduct with the same point of disrupting the schools in
Pena.
Well,
they're separate calls, though, you know.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
They are separate calls.
Absolutely.
Make a difference, right?
They are absolutely separate calls.
Well, but make a difference.
Well, it does, but the second phone call was interrupted, apparently during the transfer to the principal. The secretary heard the phrase, something to the effect that the bombs would go off at 9:15, and then immediately after that, the third phone call came in, and she listened to the entire recording, which was the same recording as that earlier call, and also the same, apparently, recording as the first phone call. We presented authority that this court can consider all three of those phone calls as being part of the same episode or the same conduct, which would mean that there was essentially one threat that occurred to the Pena schools. However, for purposes of our discussion, it would be enough that there were only two threats, the first call to the superintendent and the second two calls that were essentially to the same person, same recording, within seconds of each other, making the same threat. And so if you look at it in those terms, there were only two threats made, because you have to look at it in terms of the number of communications.
How many counts in the indictment?
There was one count, Your Honor.
Yes. Alleging two. How many threats did they allege?
I believe it was just a threat to the Pena school district. I don't believe it was separated into the various locations. Judge Scott seized on that in her interpretation of what this guideline meant. In fact, her interpretation was that there were three threats, one to the elementary schools, one to the junior high school, or actually to two different elementary schools and a school bus. Now, with respect to my argument that there were only two threats made because there were essentially two phone calls, she essentially agreed with that position. At page 13 in the transcript, this is what Judge Scott had to say. She said, and in trying to figure out, is this more than one threat? We've got three phone calls made in short succession. The middle phone call was disconnected. So if we were dealing with the business about a single instance, The argument that at least the last two phone calls ought to be considered part of the one instance would make sense, I think, to me. But the question we're dealing with is, do we have more than two threats? That's when she went on to argue that, or to rule that there were three threats made to three different locations. So, Your Honor, we would ask that the court remand this case for resentencing without this two-level enhancement.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Alvarado. Mr. Chambers?
May it please the court, counsel, Tate Chambers for the United States. The plain language, we're asking this court to look at the plain language of this guideline. The plain language says, uses the term threat. Now, as Judge Scott found, Webster's defines threat as an expression of intention to inflict injury or damage. An expression. There were three expressions in this case because there were three phone calls. Each one of those phone calls contained an expression. Each one of those phone calls contained a threat. Also, we'd ask this court to look at the context of what is being sentenced here. What is the crime that leads us to this section of the guidelines? The crime is making a threatening communication. So we believe that looking at the plain language and in the context, threats means the number of communications, which then brings us to the argument counsel makes. We agree, threat equals communication. So how many communications were there here? He says there were just two communications, one to the superintendent of schools and the other to the junior high secretary when she received the two phone calls. And he supports that argument with the line of cases that interpret the single instance language that appears elsewhere in this guideline. Those cases don't apply here. The only case that is really on point is the case that we cited, and he admits, the only other court that's ever addressed this, what does it mean to make a threat? And that court said, threats equal communications. We had three communications. Why would we lump the two second and third phone calls together? Why would we lump those together? If you look at the purpose of the sentencing, it's to sentence more harshly conduct which is more egregious.
Well, I think the argument is, though, it was a phone call initiator that somehow got terminated inadvertently, you know, like a cell phone, you drop the call, you make your call again. I mean, it's all part of one thing, isn't it?
Your Honor, that's correct, but what does that tell us? That tells us, put yourself in the position of the recipient of that phone call. She receives the phone call, we're going to blow up the two elementary schools and the bus at 9:15. That could be a prank call. She may think that's a prank call. She tries to transfer it to the principal, is unsuccessful. She hears the threat. Then, what happens next? That caller calls back. He's so determined to get this word through that he calls back. We would submit to the court that that shows that he's serious about this threat. He just didn't let it go. It's not some kid trying to avoid a math test. This is a serious person, someone who really wants them to know that at 9:15, the two elementary schools and the school bus are going up. We submit that threat equals number of communications. There were three communications, three phone calls. Each contained a threat.
Were there other enhancements that conceivably could have applied here?
Your Honor, there may have been other enhancements that could have applied.
Are there enhancements for disrupting governmental functions?
And because I didn't handle it below, I'm not certain why we didn't pursue that, and I don't know. Judge Scott, though, makes the argument that because there could have been a departure, that there couldn't be an enhancement, and we would suggest to the court that simply because the Sentencing Commission provides for a departure where there are a substantial number of threats, a substantial number of communications, doesn't mean that it's mutually exclusive, and you can't also have a two-level enhancement for simply making more than two threats. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chambers. Mr. Alvarado, do you have anything further?
Your Honor, I understand that Mr. Chambers is concerned about the seriousness of what happened, but there was a four-level enhancement that was imposed, that wasn't challenged, regarding the substantial disruption of the school functioning. Also, in regards to these multiple calls, that could have been properly addressed in an upward departure based on multiple victims. But the government, for whatever reason, didn't seek that. So we would ask that this court remand for resentencing without this two-level enhancement.
Weren't those two separate calls to the secretary, weren't they both violations of the statute? Couldn't they have been charged as separate violations?
I believe they could have, Your Honor, but the government chose not to. And I think that when the courts are interpreting what that phrase more than one threat, more than two threats means, that those two phone calls coming together right on top of each other to the same secretary involving the same threat can constitute one single instance within the meaning of that guideline.
Sounds odd, though, because you have two separate crimes. You just acknowledged that. Odd that two separate crimes would not be treated as such for sentencing purposes. Which is your position?
No, they would have been grouped. So that we still would be facing the same question, did it constitute more than two threats for purposes of sentencing? They would not have received separate sentences since they involved essentially the same conduct, which in fact supports my position that we should treat this as one single episode. Mr. Chambers says that we're saying that there were two episodes. Yes, that is a secondary position, but we're arguing that you could consider all of this conduct as one threat to the pain of schools that was made in two different phone calls. That's our position.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Mr. Alvarado?
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your father. Okay.